What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Woke and Broke, where we give you what you need to navigate these spaces and come out more empowered and just everything that you're going to need to succeed. So welcome back. Thank you for joining us. Yes. We're happy to be here.
So happy to be here. On the other side.
On the other side. Other side.
No, let me stop.
Oh, my God. How y'all doing?
I'm doing good as hell.
Ooh. So what happened with you? All right,
like, yes. Did
so,
you set your
I don't
TV
know if I,
You better say yes.
Ooh, let's move on to another question.
Oh, okay, see, Michael. That's ridiculous.
Okay. Okay.
It's really sad. It's sad, y'all. I ain't gonna lie. But let me get back to why I'm feeling good. So I'm feeling good and energized because I don't know if I told y'all this, but like I have this little like CPAP machine that I have to do for like sleep apnea and stuff like that. And y'all, it has allowed me to sleep throughout the entire night
without
getting up out of my sleep. And when I tell you, I feel so much energized, so much more energized. I have a lot of energy. I mean, I do not like get up out of my sleep for anything. I sleep throughout the whole entire night and I wake up like just brand new.
Wow.
Like, I'm just like, what damn?
I didn't know that you was like waking up in your sleep and stuff.
Yes, bro. Like,
I didn't know that
like,
either.
You know, like it's just been a lot since, you know, the health scare last year and like the steroids that I was taking for 6 months had put on like 50, 60 pounds. So like, cause I never really had that problem before this. And so like, it is a byproduct, a side effect of what I've been going through like this long term, but I'm working to, you know, handle the situation because I also did know, and I learned this, like sleep apnea also contributes to weight gain because your body is not naturally being able to like, you know, go to sleep and recover. And you need those types of things. And it's hormones involved with that. So it's like, I'm steadily breaking sleep, getting up, not, you know, gasping for air, all of this shit. So, I mean, it's under control to the point where I'm just like, I'd be looking forward to laying my ass down.
Sound out.
Because I know when I wake up, I'm gonna have energy. Like, bro, it's like when I get up, I be feeling like I damn near want to go work out. I don't.
Yes.
I would have the energy too. I'm like, okay, I'm feeling good. You know what I mean?
Yes,
I'm
baby.
Like, I can go run like 2 miles. I'm really feeling it. So
that is so good.
That is good. Oh my God.
Oh, yay. That makes me happy.
Yes.
Yes.
That's probably like why you were so tired all the time. Cause I don't know.
Contributing. Yeah. Like not getting up, waking up 4 and 5 times throughout the night. Never just being able to take my ass to sleep for a full 6 hours.
Yeah.
Or 7 hours.
Wow.
So like now when I go to sleep, I go to sleep.
Sleep. Yes,
that's
sleep,
what's
sleep,
up.
Sleep, and I wake up and have energy. So I'm here for this CPAP machine. I like it. It started me in a better direction in terms of health. So I'm ready to use this newfound energy and actually put more effort into working out.
All right, CPAP. Yay. Come on through.
Right. Come through. Go on and ship me one. Chad.
Right. I'm so
y'all, this is expensive as fuck. Thank God for insurance. Let me tell y'all, that shit costs like $992.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, wait a minute.
And your insurance covered the whole thing?
They covered the whole thing. I met my deductible and all that.
Yeah.
So they said, you know what? You don't got to pay for none of it. I was like, look at y'all.
Come through. But God.
Right.
Yes. So that's how my week has been, like getting good ass sleep, waking up energized as fuck.
Yes.
Feeling
come
good.
Through.
Like I'm come out. When I say feel good, y'all, like I literally, like one morning, the first one I had to wake up and literally lay there to just contemplate on how good I was feeling. I was like, this ain't right. Like I know.
Nah, that is right for you.
Like,
you ain't used to it. You ain't used to feeling right and shit when you wake up in the morning.
Oh my God.
That's good though.
That is.
What about you, friend? How's your week?
It's been. I'm like the opposite of Michael. Like, because of this baby,
no.
Like, my sleep has just been like the pits. And nobody tells you this shit. Like, nobody says, bitch, your sleeping is going to be shitty because A, you can't sleep on your stomach anymore. Mm-hmm. B, bitch, you're going to have to pee about 5-6 times a night. Like, So I'm like, and mind you, it's been cold all week, right? All week. So they've been talking about, oh, we're going to have a damn near a blizzard. And we're not going to have school, right? So I'm like, I've been telling my kids all week, we need to do the snow dance, which is low-key the chicken noodle soup dance. And I'd be like, okay, you got to let it snow and sprinkle it out. And let it snow and sprinkle that. And so all the kids are doing, I was like, you got to do it every night and in the morning,
every night,
and check the news. Because they're like, I want to come to school. I said, no, you don't. No, you don't want to come to school. Don't you want to stay in your nice pajamas and watch Netflix?
No. They want to spend time with your ass.
They thought about it. They thought about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I said, see, you know, shit. I'm tired. I want to sleep. That's all I want to do is sleep. Sure enough, Thursday night comes along. Friday morning and not a fucking speck of fucking snow. Oh, I was pissed. And they're like, well, it's supposed to be really bad on Saturday. Fuck that. I want to miss school. Now, I don't care about the weekend. Like,
that's already my time.
Hello? Like, I'm already going to be in the bed. Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, and so, like, we have one more full week of school before we start the Christmas break. And so, I just been tired. And so, like, Saturday, I woke up, I made some breakfast, like a little potato, egg, sausage casserole. And when I tell y'all, a bitch slept all day. Oh, it was so refreshing. And I did not at once get up to go to the bathroom. I was like, I'm going to sleep. I'm just not. Baby girl, you just going to have to.
So you just ignored it? You ignored the pee? Or you just
ignored it as fuck. You hear me? Ignored it. Ignored it. And I was like, you just going to dive into this sleep. And so I slept for so long. And normally, like I think back in like high school and college, when you take a nap and you sleep longer than you expect, you be like,
yes,
now I'm going to be up all night. That's the beauty of being pregnant. You can never, you just sleep. I still went to bed just fine. Like, and early. Like, I went to bed early. Like, I started watching this movie on Amazon Prime, Slice, with Chance the Rapper. Fell asleep, child. I was just asleep. Don't even know what happened. Like, and it was the best. I felt kind of like how Michael did Refresh. But then it was like, I can still sleep some more. Like, it was just, I felt greedy with my sleep. But the boyfriend reminds me, like, you sleeping for two. Like, you pregnant.
That's
what?
Very
like,
true.
You gonna sleep.
Yeah.
You need your energy and her energy, so.
Listen. So it's been nice, though. Like, I'm just low-key salty at the weather, folks. Because, I mean, you had one fucking job. Like, I understand.
One.
How y'all fucked this up? Like, I just... How did y'all fuck it up? But, like, it's kind of a blessing because they've been, like... The city is trying to add a sidewalk. Bitch can't even park in her garage because they done dug up the whole damn side. I got to waddle my ass over a plank of wood just to make it safely to my door. I came home Thursday night and cried. Like, I still can't get to my garage. This is the
They gotta fix that.
They need to. I'm ready to call and complain. But you said it's not worth it. I mean, what you complaining? Right.
You complaining that they trying to fix it up. Let me find out.
Well, they're not doing it fast enough. Because it's cold, they don't have to work. That's all. Which I guess, I mean, sounds right. But still, don't start some shit you can't finish.
Right.
You think we want to park our shit on the street?
Oklahoma is known for that shit, you know.
And I done got bougie now that I got a garage. I don't want to. I feel like common folks having to park my shit on the street. I ain't got spoiled parking in a damn garage. Now I don't know where I come from. Right. I ain't never had a garage my whole damn life, and now I'm acting like. I'm like, Lord, why have you forsaken me?
I cannot.
I'm gonna use my garage. Because I would have been pissed if that snow would have came and my car would have been covered. What's the point?
Hell yeah, because it's a whole nother thing where you gotta like dust snow and shit the fuck off your car before you get ready. I hate it.
The pits. So that's been my week. But other than that, it's been, you know, it's been great. We just been counting down the days to Christmas break.
That's what's up.
Push through.
I miss Christmas break. Because hoes do not have that. When you are in the corporate world, you do not have Christmas break. You
get Christmas off. We got a request.
Yes, and that's that bullshit that I ain't. No. I'm not here for it.
I'm not gonna come in and I'm not putting my time in for it either. Fuck them.
And then I caught myself complaining because I looked at the calendar. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. That's it.
You used to that food, that good for.
Yes. I need the whole month.
The whole month.
I should not complain because folks don't, you know, like y'all got to be at work.
Mm-hmm. I hate it.
How was your week and weekend?
Ooh,
yes, well, I'm ready to hear. I want to hear
because you had something going on. Was it today?
Yeah, it was yesterday and today, right? So my whole weekend,
a 2 day.
Mm-hmm, my whole weekend was just fucking lost in a pit of hell.
Oh, no,
literally. Okay, so this whole week, me and my team at work, we've been planning for this party. It's a holiday party, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. For the hospital. And the thing about the hospital is that it's like you're not just appreciating the employees, but you're appreciating all the doctor's offices, all the vendors that we use, all of the dignitaries that we work with in the community. We have to appreciate mm-hmm. all those people. So we had to make sure all those people was here. All of them had a gift. All of them had some type of reference. Yes, everything. And it's four of us doing all of this. So this week, we just been doing all of that, making sure that these people showed up to this event and that they had a good time, right? So yesterday was the actual event. And I had listened to my Sofaggio frequencies and stuff while we was on our way there and everything. So I was like, you know what, Lord? Whatever happens is what happens. I'm just going to put it all in your hands and I'm going to do my very best, right? So yeah, that was the attitude I had the whole night. Now, luckily, this year, my room was ample amount of space. It was not a closet. It was not a shoebox. And I was happy, right?
Uh-huh.
However, I did not get to see the inside of my room because the bitch was working from the time I stepped foot in the hotel to the time I left. Yes, literally. I only got to sleep at the end of the event, like after the event, and it was like hours after the event. Like maybe I probably went to sleep at like, I don't know, 1, 2. I can't even remember.
That's a long time in old people world.
No, seriously. Like, bitch, by 11:30, I'll be dead. Like, you know, so I'm just like, this, 2, 3, no. So, like, I mean, the party went well, apparently, from the guest experience. The guests uh-huh. were, like, saying, oh, my God, you guys did a great job. Everything was wonderful, blah, blah, blah. It was a bang uh-huh. of people. Like, literally, we had, like, it had to have been 900 some people in that room, right? And because it was packed in the room, so it was plenty of people. You know, the entertainment was there. We had a scare because we thought one of the entertainment performers, their bus broke down, and so we didn't have nowhere to contact them. They hadn't contacted us. We thought that they weren't going to show up, right? And so the girl who like is over events or whatever, she was like freaking out. She was about to cry and stuff because she was like, it's gonna be my fault. Like, we gonna get cussed out and it's gonna be my fault. Whoa. And I'm so sorry, y'all, and I don't know what to do. I was like, do you have anybody's number? She's like, I talked to the principal this morning, but I only have her email address. And I was like, see, that's why you gotta get phone numbers. Get cell phone numbers. Yeah. You gotta check and recheck and double check and triple check. Like you got to get numbers, girl. And she was about to cry, and like the like right then the front desk called and was like, So your guests are here, your performers, they just showed up and she like almost like just passed out. And I was like, I went over there and I said, let me give you a hug, girl. Cause I do.
But God, look.
But yeah, like it was cool. But when I tell you, I was so fucking tired. Like literally before the event, the party was over at midnight. Uh-huh. But I got tired at like 9:30. So
yeah, because you've been probably ripping and running that whole day.
Yeah, that whole week, because I was going like to pick up like pieces for the centerpieces, because Target was supposed to ship us 100 vases that was supposed to be a part of our centerpieces, right? Why did they only send us 77?
They play.
You tried it. You thought we weren't gonna count this shit out.
Yes, right. They sent us 77, and then when we called them and told them to that we need more, like y'all did not give us the complete order. They was like, okay, well, we'll be able to ship it to you by Friday. Right? This is on Wednesday. We like, no, bitch. We need this shit tomorrow.
The
we
event is like
on Saturday. Yeah, like we need this shit immediately because we gotta put the centerpieces together.
They right. play.
So they was like, okay, we'll be sure we'll get them to you by Friday. Like, seriously, we will get them here by Friday. They did not. They sent us two. Two vases.
Whoever was in charge need to be fired.
They need to be fired as fuck. They sent us two fucking vases in separate individual boxes. Pissed. I was pissed. And then, so guess who had to go and find some fucking vases to put in the centerpieces? My ass. Yes. Drove all over the world. I went to like 5-6 different stores just to find some fucking vases. But a bitch found them. A bitch found them, and a bitch found them before 5 fucking clock.
Good. Come on, execution. I'm so mad Come at on, Target. Execution. I'm so mad at Target. They better do better.
Yeah, they need to do better. Like, and those were some pretty ass faces too. Like, I'm very excited about them. But still, like, y'all hosts could have sent like all of them instead of fucking 77. So
right, and then try to send two more. Like, bitch,
two. Pissed. I was so pissed. But like when I went to the stores, I got literally all of the one. Like, literally, it was just enough for how many we needed, and so it ended up being put together really well. But like overall, the event was really nice. Everybody loved it. It's just like we had some minor details that we need should have probably like thought about that we didn't think about. Mm-hmm. But I would say we'll work that out next year. But I'm really not trying to do that next year. So I'm trying to do something different, you know. But, like, I mean, it was a lot of work. A bitch was tired. Like, I got in my room, literally was getting ready to text Jarmel, and before I could even send the text message, I was
sleep.
Sleep as fuck. And then had to wake up because we had a brunch to do the morning, or this morning. So, like, I had to do that. Like, we had to text all the doctors, all the people who was invited. We had to text everybody first thing asked in the morning. And then we had to pack all the stuff up from the party to put in the vehicles before the brunch even started. Then we had to get the gifts.
Oh my God.
It was so fucking much.
Do y'all get a bonus for that? Like, right. Did they hook y'all up with a bomb ass gift? Or?
I do not know. That's the thing. I don't know if we're going to get a bonus. See, last year I got a bonus. But I don't know. I don't know what, you know, what they have in store
feel
for
like,
us.
Y'all, I don't
we
know.
Made that shit like, work.
But why don't they just get, like, actual event planners? Like,
because that's our job. We're marketing. Marketing is literally marketed for the entire organization. It's
holidays,
event,
too.
Yep. Any event that we put on is all us. So, literally, okay, so you know how, like, at OSU, Jamie in the events team was one thing, and then, like, what's their names? I can't even remember, but, like, all of them that was doing, like, social media and all that stuff, they was all another team. Well, it's not like that. It's only one team, and it's all of us. Like, and it's only four of us, and we that whole team. So, like, we have to do literally everything. Damn. But we got that shit done. We executed.
Was there open bar? Did y'all get the
No. I didn't get a stitch of liquor. Not a stitch. And I probably would have been great. I'd have been great if I just had just a sip of something. But no, a bitch had nothing. a bitch had food and that was it, and barely. Because had I had the woman like who was helping us with the hotel, had she not sat and asked us, "Have you guys gotten to eat?" I wouldn't have ate. She was like, I'll bring you guys some food. You know, she's like, I'll bring you guys some food. And so she brought us some food and we scarfed the shit down in between doing stuff. You know, it was a lot. But
and this is technically like your Christmas event. So y'all not gonna have another one.
No, this is it. Thank God. So that's just what I kept telling myself. It's almost over, Josh. You got 3 hours. You just got 3 hours, Josh. You just got 20 minutes, Josh. You got 20. So like when it was finally over, I was like, thank God. So I went to sleep. My body was so sore. So sore. I haven't been this sore since I played sports, and that was a long motherfucking time ago. So a long fucking time ago. But like I was so sore, went to sleep, woke up, and I felt like a whole new person. Like a whole new person. So like, yeah, I was just, today was a great day to me. I was like, you know what? The hard part is over. All this other stuff we can manage through. So we just made the shit happen and got through it. So it was a lot, but I'm grateful that we got to the other side. That's why I was like, we made it to the other side. Shit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So be blessed when y'all are thinking about, well, especially you, Daddy, because like when you thinking about
I don't
you ain't got to do all of that. Lord knows. I wouldn't want to put that on nobody.
Not easy.
No, especially for a big organization. Right. Like, that is real fucking work. Like, it is. But beyond that, beyond work, everything went really, really well for my week. You know, just personal projects and stuff have been really working really well. And, you know, things that I'm working on in my personal life have been really good. So I really can't afford to complain when it comes to that, because overall my life is A1. You know, everything that's going on is A1. It's just a bitch be tired every now and then. So, but if I could, if work is the only thing that's like really stressing me out, then I'll take that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'll take that until the change comes. So I'm good. You know, I'll be positive about everything. Try to be as optimistic as possible.
And you have to be, though. You really do.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's how my week was. But I'm glad you guys had a great week, and I'm looking forward to this week, especially now that the damn party is over. But now we are going to move right over to our shout out segment, Black, Brilliant, and Beautiful. And I just wanted to shout out the brothers of Alpha Phi Alpha for 112 illustrious years of Manly D scholarship and love for all mankind. I personally didn't get to celebrate because, again, a bitch was out here working, doing his due diligence. However, I did get to reach out to a few of my brothers just to, like, share a quick A5, you know, with them and whatnot. So, shout out to all the good bros of A5A. I hope y'all enjoy Founders Day and keep doing good work. Onward and upward, bros.
So random. I definitely had a dream my daddy was alive and he had on an Alpha shirt. And I was like, daddy, take that shirt off. Like, and he had an Instagram and he had posted. And I was like, daddy, what are you doing? So like people was like trolling his ass. I'm like, dad, like, what are you doing? Yep, y'all.
And you know how Greeks are. Greeks will find your ass. They will find you if you are not initiated. Yes, they will text around and shit. They will find
like, look
you.
At somebody's daddy. Yes. They've been thrift shopping again. And my daddy loves a good thrift shop. Like,
they'll find out quick as fuck too and shut your ass down. It's crazy.
Yes. It's like, first of all, why does my daddy have an IG? B, why has he got on this Alpha shirt? Like, I'm just so confused.
Your daddy's speaking to you.
He's like, I didn't went to heaven and played.
Hilarious. But y'all got anything else to shout out this week?
Not I said the cat.
Okay.
I said the dog.
Well, in that case, we are going to move on over to our main topic segment, the vent, and it's yes. Daddy's week, so you go ahead and take it away.
Well, this week, I really wanted to vent about being codependent, especially with family members, because as we approach this holiday time of year, we're forced, not really forced to be around family, but we tend to be around a lot of family members, and I really just want us to talk about that codependent relationship and then kind of creating these healthy boundaries. So I want to know from you guys, and like just quickly, like codependent is pretty much being reliant on other people for what would you say, trying to be like a people pleaser in mm-hmm. a sense. Mm-hmm. And always kind of looking for their approval, even though you know that what they're doing is not matching your energy or kind of hinders you in some way, mm-hmm. but you're so loyal to them and so reliant on their need of approval, you'll do anything to kind of just be in their life, if that
Ooh.
Makes sense.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of people like that in my family. Uh-huh. And I ain't gonna say no names, but you know who you are. But like, so the thing that is scary to me about codependency is that a lot of times the people who are codependent don't see it as codependency. Right. So they're just like, oh, when everything is good, you know, it's like kind of altruistic relationship, right? Mm-hmm, but when mm-hmm. they fall out, it's so terrible, you yes, know? Oh, yes. I hate you. Oh, you ain't mm-hmm. never done nothing for me. I don't need nothing mm-hmm. from you, blah, blah, blah. But when they in a good mood, you know, oh, can you take me here? Can you do this for me? Can you grab this right, for me? You right. know, I need your help. Da, 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 da. Let's go out and do this. You know, that type of situation. Mm-hmm. And that scares me because when you get into that type of relationship, you end up hindering your growth because right. you always reach out for that other person's approval, or you mm-hmm. always reach out for that what that other person has mm-hmm. to give you. You Absolutely. Know what I mean? And especially if it's like a two-way codependent relationship, like both mm-hmm. of you feel like you need each other,
right, or right, right.
you don't feel like you need each other, but you really do need each other, uh-huh. then it really becomes scary because if you do have a fallout or something like that, then you're reaching out to everybody else when you haven't reached out to them in a very long time. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And so it gets really scary because you're not really being able to grow in the type of ways that you should be able to grow because of that codependent nature. So instead of you going out and doing what you need to do on your own, mm-hmm. you're going to them and trying to get them to help you or trying to get them to encourage you and motivate you. And if they don't give it to you, then you just don't do it. Or right, you just right. don't take it within yourself to go and make it happen. And that's mm-hmm. what's scary to me.
Absolutely. Michael, mm-hmm. what do you think? Do you know anybody or have you dealt with being codependent? How does that make you feel?
So I do know people who are codependent, and it's just unhealthy mm-hmm. simply because the codependent person, especially if it's not like a two-way codependency where it's two people in a situation, then that creates a toxic environment where two people are both codependent on each other, and it's like they can't seem to do anything without each other. I know a few people that are like codependent in themselves, like they don't necessarily probably identify as a codependent or that's something that's in a part of their life, but you can see the patterns of behaviors that people who are codependent engage in. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people who feel like they can't do absolutely anything without the support of another person. And it's really mm-hmm. like more, I would say, like an emotional or psychological reliance.
Yes.
Right.
Person or a group for this codependency. And so like, they need to go out every time with this person, or they need to include and just run everything. And it's okay to run things past a person for like having a second pair of eyes to look over something that especially as a report that you have to submit for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. But then it becomes to the point where it's like every single time, like you the codependent person is not seeing that, and they're like sucking up the other person's like space and mm-hmm. life, and they're not seeing that they're kind of becoming like a burden,
yeah,
as opposed to like somebody that's also like an equal in the situation. And a codependent person doesn't always see it, but I do know several people that have those type of characteristics that are codependent, and they don't see it as that. And it's like, I think I remember, like, I'm thinking back, like, one time in college, this guy that I know, I remember he used to have these roommates or whatever, mm-hmm. and literally, like, I didn't understand this because it blew my mind, but it was like they roommates needed him and his roommates. He needed, like, basically to see, he wanted his roommates to see what he was wearing before he went out. Mm-hmm. Like, it was almost like, I'm like, y'all not even about to go to a party, and you talking about you trying to wait to see what they say about your outfit, or like right. y'all need to color coordinate outfits, same, same. Like y'all all go wear the same thing.
Right.
Like, are y'all in a relationship? Like
the fuck? Yeah.
Right. All types of questions. So I'm just like, okay, that's, to me, I'm like, that's kind of weird. I'm like, I wish the fuck I would sit up here and wait for my roommate to tell me what I have on looks good and I can go
bitch,
out.
Bitch, y'all shit ain't cute. I'm you can't go out.
Right, right.
Like, no, bitch, like, I'm wearing what I want to wear. I feel like this today, that's what I'm going to go out in. Damn right. Like, I'm not waiting for approval or be like, okay, oh, that look good, bro. You good. You can go. And just to go to the funky-ass cafeteria. So like I'm seeing examples of codependency and I'm just like okay. Mm-mm. You know, not to be judgmental, but like I want to get to the point, like a question that I would have is like, and we'll probably get to this, but like what makes the person codependent? Like what is the way they feel like, and even especially when they don't recognize it,
right?
Like, they need this desire to seek the approval, a constant approval from another person. Sometimes you gotta fuck up, make your own mistakes, but listen, at least you get them.
And you exactly.
Let right. somebody else be like, okay, yeah, you can do it and fuck it up. Fuck it up for yourself, sis.
Right. Like,
you know, like, and learn and grow and continue to do better. Like,
right.
You want to be okay without the approval. Like, don't get me wrong, there are certain things that I understand that you might need somebody mm-hmm. over before, because it can be something very important, like an application to a very high position that you're trying to make mm-hmm. sure that you get. But like with everything, mm-hmm. everything, no.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Well, I've learned that like codependency kind of stems from your childhood mm-hmm. and the feeling of like abandonment and wanting to seek someone's approval. Mm-hmm. So it used to stem from like relationships and maybe having a partner or a parent who deals with some type of addiction.
Mm.
And you've always tried to, like, kind of be there for them, but kind of, like, not address their actual problem.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of, like, you're like a crutch for them, in a sense. So much that instead of, like, really addressing the problem, you guys ignore the problem, but yet you still want their love and affection and their attention. Mm-hmm. And so there's a constant just, like, approval needed uh-huh. there. And so, like, I know that's something that I've struggled with, like, which is so weird to say, like, and I didn't even realize it until my boyfriend's mom sent me this article, and I was like, damn, mm-hmm. I got some of them traits. Like, mm-hmm. and where is this coming from? Like, why do I feel like I need that approval from this person, like, especially when that person has not been there, you know, for me. But it's like, you still want to fix this relationship, you know?
Right,
and
yeah.
so instead of addressing right. the problems, you just kind of want to place the band-aid and kind of just ignore the issues and still try to build that relationship, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep. But it's like, it doesn't feel good because it's like, because now I'm out of that, of wanting their approval, and I've like just placed up this whole wall where I want to detach like completely. And
right. sometimes
detaching, especially with family members, to a certain extent can't be healthy at all. It's right. just not healthy. And I think, and that's kind of why I want to get into like setting up those boundaries, and you know, because I don't think it's, especially for me, because really the person I'm speaking on is my mom. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel guilty and bad that I want to just completely detach. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's like, what else am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? Like, that's the way for me to get out of that codependency of looking for approval, because it's like, I can't pretend like I don't know what's going on. You know what I mean? I can't do that anymore. And I can't address it because either you'll feel some type of way and it'll cause more dysfunction, you know? And so since I can't speak on it, I need to just detach.
Right.
Such in an excessive way where it makes everybody else in the family uncomfortable, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's caused that friction.
I get where you're coming from though, because I kind of see, you know, those types of dynamics as well.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, in my immediate family, I see some of those dynamics or saw. Well, right. Still see in some people's cases. But like, and when it was me that was in that boat, I detached. Me going to college was me detaching. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't, especially like during undergrad when a bitch didn't have a car. Mm-hmm. I only went home when I had the money to ride the bus to go home.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I a lot of the things that I needed, I struggled for, you know, but I did it on my own.
Right.
And that kind of got me to the point to where I could see, oh, I don't need this person's approval in order to do this. I don't need this person's assistance in order to do this.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm able to do what I need to do on my own and be okay. You know, I get to find my own rhythm, the beat of my own drum, and it makes me feel confident and comfortable. You know, I don't need to be, you know, in someone else's presence in order for my light to shine brightly, you know?
Right.
And I think that's what kind of made me realize that, you know, I'm not dependent on anybody. Like, I do want to be around people, but I don't need to be around people in that way, if that makes sense.
Right.
Exactly. So I do get exactly where you're coming from in that regard.
And I think when I was younger, like, I had my dad, so it was like, I didn't need her. Like, you know, I have a parent who loves and cares for me, provides for me emotionally, financially, you know what I mean? And I don't, and though I can't, it's ignorant to say I don't need her, because I did need her, but she wasn't there.
Right.
So for me, it was like, I don't have to deal with the bullshit because at least I have one parent who's there.
Right.
But now it's like, ever since my father has died, it's been like a guilty thing. You know, well, damn, now I only have one parent left. Let me deal with the bullshit because, you know, I just have one. Like, what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? Like,
love him.
Deal with it, love him, and move on. But it's like, I felt like I had to be a willing participant in the bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
See, that's the thing. Like, you can love a person, but you don't have to deal with their bullshit ever. Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to put up with the bullshit. Like, you can love them and spend time with them, but as soon as the bullshit start rearing its ugly little head, that's when you be like, okay, bitch, close this door. All right, or hang up this phone, because I ain't about to participate in none of that. So you have that over there. I love you. I'll see you next time, or I'll talk to you next time, you know. And you have to, pretty much like you said, it's starting to set up those boundaries. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, I do know and acknowledge that I want and need you in my life to some extent, but I don't ever need the bullshit, and I don't ever have to put up with the bullshit, you know, because that impacts me and my emotional capacity, you know, and whatnot. And that's something that I don't have to bear.
Definitely. Because especially now that I'm about to be a mom, it's like, I've gotten to a point that it's like, you know, everybody needs their mom, you know what I mean? But I've accepted that we will not have the relationship that a normal mother and daughter would have. And that's because when you don't, you know, when somebody watches their child grow, they've been able to see every side of them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're truly able to know them. But to me, like, our relationship is like a normal person, not a person off the street, because she gave me life, and I don't want to dwindle that down, but it's like a stranger to me, you know, like, we really don't even know each other. And so, like, I've accepted that we will never be just super, super close like that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, but now I'm trying to focus on the child that I am having and creating that relationship. That's my priority.
Right.
I no longer care to just really put all my attention on mending a relationship, not even mending, but building this close knit relationship with my mom. And right. I don't know if that's selfish or what, but it's like,
I mean, but it's okay. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's okay to be selfish sometimes. Sometimes you have to be selfish in order to get what you need from you, you know, mm-hmm. because a lot of people do. They get into spaces to where they feel like they need something from somebody else in order to move forward right. in life mm-hmm. or in order to be happy in life. And you have to be selfish and say, okay, look, I don't need this from you. I'm going to figure out how to produce it for myself, you know, so right. that I can go on and be happy or do what I need to do separate from you, you know, and that's kind of like severing those spiritual or emotional ties, you know what I mean? But I honestly, this goes into like a deeper conversation.
Well, come on.
But I kind of feel like when it comes to like codependency and stuff like that, those are like, those are spiritual ties, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
they are either ties based upon some form of trauma or like you mm-hmm. said, like a person who abandonment or something like that. You know, I feel like when you tie yourself to people spiritually in a way like that, you do end up, you know, manifesting different emotions based upon what that other person does. You want them to change. You want them to be able to give you things, you know, whether it be love, affection, time, whatever. Mm-hmm. You want something from them that they are unable to give. You right, know what I'm saying? Right. And that's the error. That's the danger in building those types of relationships. So, like me in particular, I've learned to look at relationships like this. I give what I can give and I mm-hmm. accept what you have to give. Right. I'm not expecting to get anything from you. I'm not demanding right. anything from you. What you give is what you give. And I hold the power to say mm-hmm. whether that's good enough for me or if it's right. not, you know? And if mm-hmm. it's not good enough for me, then I'm able to say, okay, you got it over there. I still love you. You know what I mean? But right, I have to right. do me to protect my energy, to get make sure I'm getting my healing, my growth, whatever it is. And that's what it is. Or going back to the point of being selfish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In order to, you know, protect or maintain your spiritual capacity and your emotional capacity, you have to be able to establish those boundaries and say, hey, look, I'm trying to get this for myself. I'm trying to build this up so that I can be a whole individual, because I can be whole mm-hmm. within myself without needing another half or a three quarters right. of you and two quarters of them. Like, I don't need that. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. and if I feel like I'm at the point to where I do need somebody else, then I know that I have inner work that I need to do, you know, right. so that I can get to that place to where I don't feel like I have any gaps or any holes or anything, you yeah. know?
I definitely feel like we oftentimes can lose ourselves because we take on other people's problems mm-hmm. or their issues and make them our own, when really it has nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. What they got going on has nothing to do with us at the end of the day.
And we can't fix it.
To separate that is what makes a big difference, because that was hard for me. Like, I would be personally offended or attacked by somebody else's problem, and then I'm over here looking crazy, and it's like, girl, that shit ain't got nothing to do with you. Like,
right,
you've
yeah.
got to, or you will be in this, you will lose yourself in this mess forever if you continue to do that.
Right,
you have,
right.
People sometimes will make it your mess, you know, and that's when you have to say, you know, again, putting up those boundaries and saying, hey, this ain't, that's your problem. That has mm-hmm. nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
Michael, any thoughts?
As far as
just like not losing yourself in the mess and making sure to separate, like
it's so important. I mean, I agree with everything that y'all was saying. And the reality of the situation is, you can go so long doing something in a routine and literally end up losing yourself, and not yeah. and then have to take that time to do some soul searching, excuse me, to reflect on the experience to better understand the situation. Some people don't even do that. Mm-hmm. Some people mm-hmm. are stuck in a fucking routine of codependency with another person, and they just keep going and going and going until it takes somebody else to point that shit out. Mm-hmm. And yes. then they're like, oh, the light bulb goes off in their head. It's like, oh. So, I mean, like, to avoid that, like, to keep having a healthy, like, relationship without losing yourself. I mean, boundaries are important and they look different for everybody.
Right.
And people need to be okay with having those boundaries. Some people might feel like, oh, you doing them wrong or you acting funny and all this other type of shit. No, honey, I'm not doing any of those things. What I am doing is creating space so that you and I won't fall out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that we can continue to have a relationship. The dynamics of that relationship may look different because I've identified a problem within our, you know, relationship, but that doesn't mean that I'm trying to stop fucking with you.
Right.
I want to keep fucking with you, but I have to set up some boundaries in order to do so. And it's not necessarily about you. It's about me and why I still want to continue to have this relationship.
Right.
But it's the ways right. in which you do it. So you have to set up those boundaries, and they can be in respectful ways. Like, it'll, and if the person understands that you really care about them, they're not going to sit up here and make a big ass stupid deal about it. Like, they might be hurt for yeah. a little bit, but
they'll be able to,
you know, sooner or later, they'll come around, they'll be okay, mm-hmm. and they might learn something from your actions to show your love and support for y'all's relationship. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You know what it makes me think of? Have y'all ever watched Intervention?
Yes.
Yep.
You know how Intervention, the counselors or whatever give them the like bottom lines, and they're like, mm-hmm. okay, well, what is your bottom line with so and so in order to, you know, see a change? And they have to like say, okay, well, I won't let you in my house anymore, I won't talk to you, you won't see any of the kids, you won't be able to, like, you have to, those are boundaries,
right?
Harsh boundaries, but sometimes you have to have those harsh boundaries, especially when you're a person who knows that you love hard and you will do whatever mm-hmm. to make sure make that person feel good or mm-hmm. make that person, you know, not experience pain or hurt or anguish or whatever. You'll do whatever, even if it's to their detriment. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
And even if it's to your detriment, you'll do whatever thinking that you're, you know, making them feel good or making things right. And so sometimes mm-hmm. you do have to just hit that bottom line and say, okay, for the betterment of me and the betterment of you, I'm cutting this shit and nipping this shit in the bud. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, mm-hmm. I can't do this anymore because I'm giving too much of myself and I don't have that much to give. And right. I don't want to see you hurting yourself over and over and over by way of me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I can't do that. And so sometimes you do have to have those bottom lines, those harsh boundaries, because some people just don't understand, hey, you know, look, I'm trying and you're, you know, doing this, this, and this, and let's come to a solution. Some people don't understand that. Some people you have to say, look, girl, I buy you no more motherfucking groceries. If you keep using all your motherfucking food stamps, bitch, you can't keep like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have to do that.
Keep selling your food stamps, bitch. I'm not.
Bitch, I can't help you, girl.
I sold mine too.
Ain't that it? Hello,
right. You sold yours. I sold mine too.
We both got sold. So I don't know. Like, I don't know how to help. You have to do that sometimes, because otherwise they will never learn and experience is what teaches, not words.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yes,
you can say all mm-hmm. the things the right way at the right time, but experiences, experience
and
is what teaches
up,
people.
Backing those words up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can't be tired of the behavior or whatever or the situation and then can let it continue.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I love that mm-hmm. what you're saying, because like a key thing I heard in there that you didn't say but was clear was communication. Mm-hmm. I think when you really care about a relationship, you have to literally, you have to sit down and communicate that with somebody, especially if they're worth, if they're truly worth it, you know, and you do want a change to happen. I think having that conversation is important so that they're clear that you're not just cutting them off, mm-hmm. that there's a reason why you're setting up these boundaries. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because if they don't know, they can't do better either, even though they secretly probably know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I had to learn as well. Like, I had just, y'all was so bad. I just cut my mom off. Like, I wasn't going to have mm-hmm. nothing. And then it was like, she was telling people that my boyfriend was keeping me away from her, and that pissed me off.
Right.
And that's when I had to be like, no, you're not going to put this on him. Like, mm-hmm. if anything, he's the one telling me that I need to, you know, try to talk to you or something. And it's like, don't be spreading around that I'm like, it just made me feel like she was trying to make it seem like I was in this, like, controlling relationship.
Yeah. Really,
she was the result of my decision. You mm-hmm. were the reason why I made this decision. Let's not put this on anybody else because it has nothing to do with him.
Right.
You know? But when you make it clear, which is what I should have done, my, you know, how I felt clear, then she wouldn't have had no room for misinterpretation. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Or would be able to make an excuse or, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that.
This kind of ties into, like, our conversation last week, too, because mm-hmm. it also mm-hmm. deals with confidence. Like, when you have confidence in yourself and, like, what you need or what you want out of life or whatever, you're able to communicate those things more clearly Absolutely. And more definite Absolutely. More definitely, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if you know that you have a parent that is taking up a lot of energy or just doing things over and over and over again to just, like, really hurt you, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not even intentionally, but just
right
you know what I mean? Because a lot of times it's not intentional, it's just as a result, you are the parent, you have to be mindful of those things, but you're not, you know what I'm saying? And so it's like, you do have to have the confidence to and boldness to be able to say, hey, look, you did this and it made me feel this way, and I'm so sorry mm-hmm. that you did that to me and made me feel this way. However, this is the result of your actions.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have to be able to say that to the people that you care for the most. And it is hard a lot of the time. You know, mm-hmm. it is hard to be able to say those types of things because you don't want to hurt them, you know, just like they don't want to hurt you. But the shit got to be said sometimes because it's only so much that a person can take. You know,
and you know, being codependent, one of those traits is low self-esteem, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that you can have such high confidence in other areas of your life, but when it comes to the thing that you're codependent on, mm-hmm. that kind of shows kind of like that weakness that you have, that low self-esteem that you need to truly work on.
Right. You got to discover the trigger points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So how do you set boundaries that are fair and not just overreactive?
Ooh.
Because sometimes I know I'm guilty of, you know, going off of my emotions
mm-hmm.
instead of just being like, you know, this is what's fair to me.
Right.
Not just because I'm emotionally upset, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think a good way to do that is to journal, honestly. Because, like, if you journal and you write down how you feel, you can work through, like, the emotions that you're feeling, right?
Right.
First. Mm-hmm. That way you can look back and you can see, okay, this is emotion. This is me overreacting. This is this. And then you can come up with, like, a list of what the issue is, what the problem is, and then create a list of solutions, possible solutions, you know? So then you are able to weigh out, okay, do this may be my extreme. This is my bottom line
here. Right.
You know what I'm saying? To mm-hmm. like, if you're just mad and you know, okay, bitch, I'm tired. That's your bottom line. That's the one.
Right.
You know, but then you can come up with a few other ones to say, okay, well, this is what I'll try first. You know, mm-hmm. And that could just be having a conversation, just talking. And if they blow up, look, okay, I tried. Have it on the phone.
Right.
Like, you know, okay, I just wanted to talk. I didn't mean for it to turn into all of this. We'll finish this conversation later. Bye. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, but when you journal, you'll be able to, like, make those lists and you can see the emotions that are attached to that particular subject. And you'll be able to see how to navigate that or create, like, how to navigate that for yourself. So you can see, okay, what I'm most comfortable with first. And then what, if I'm triggered, how I would respond, how I would react. You know what I mean? So definitely journaling would be a healthy tool to use to be able to navigate through that a little bit and come up with those actual real boundaries that you can start establishing.
Mm-hmm. What you think, Michael? You agree?
I definitely agree. And as far as, like, what are some tools to create healthy boundaries? Honestly, I mean, sometimes you got to be, and I love the idea of journaling so that you can reflect on what you held in face-to-face communication with a person. Mm-hmm. Like, when you sit a person down and you right. tell them, like, you dialogue about it, you unpack what went on in the experience. I mean, and it's important to be able to have open, honest conversations about that and being clear with them about what your boundaries mm-hmm. are. Like, communication is a very effective tool. Mm-hmm. Like, but at the same time, the person that you're communicating with has to be open to that communication. Yes. 'Cause it could be like, you could be communicating and they're not listening. Right. So it's like, you have to also, again, be clear with them about what it is that you're wanting to change or create in terms of that boundary. So for example, like, you could tell a person, like, you know what? You know, I know before we used to, you know, we used to kick it tough and everything. And we used to, you know, do X, Y, and Z or whatever that X, Y, and Z is. But it's like now, in order to, like, you know, for example, you'll tell them, like, you know, in order for you to remain in my life, in order for us to remain in each other's lives, these things have to change. Right. So, like, the boundaries could be like, you know what? We not fucking no more. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, y'all wasn't in a relationship. You know, you have, you know, you little fuck buddy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, things kind of probably get too intense mm-hmm. and you got to step back like, whoa. You know, we used to fuck Monday through Friday. Maybe we should only fuck on the weekend.
Ain't that it? Know. Yes. And back the shit up. Back the shit up.
An example for the tool. You know what I mean? Like, it could be
don't
that
be giving
like,
in.
Like, you
know, right.
We used to go hard in the paint. But you know what? I can't fuck with you no more. Like, I can't rock with you no more because I'm being more involved in this than I think you are. And so I need right. to set a boundary. Mm-hmm. And we could still be cool because, you know, we had a relationship. Mm-hmm. We had a platonic relationship before we decided to go that route. So it's like, you could set that boundary up. And if they honor that and if they go like, you know what? Okay, this person's right. We was, you know, going hard, but, you know, I understand and I'm not really all into that and I'm not trying to take it to the next level. So for us to remain in each other's lives, you know, as friends, if that's what we choose to do, that's them showing that they understand mm-hmm. what you're wishing, what your wishes are in terms of that new boundary.
Yes.
That communication. Yes. Like, they need to be clear about what it is that you are expressing and what you are expecting to happen. I mean, that's just for example, because it can yes. be any other thing. Because you think about your relationship with family members and things like that, and trying to create boundaries. Like, sometimes, like, you know, some of us have family members, you know, we are, and Josh was talking about this too, like, we always bailing them out, mm-hmm. all this other type mm-hmm. of stuff. We always coming to the rescue. Sometimes you got to show tough love. Like, yeah. it don't mean I don't love you, but God damn it, I'm not about to buy you a pack of cigarettes.
Hello?
I don't even smoke.
Yes.
I don't even smoke. I'm not going to continue to fund your habits.
Ain't that
I don't smoke. Damn it. You damn right I'm not about to buy you a pack of cigarettes. I used to buy you a pack of cigarettes because I understood how hard it was, but you know
the
what?
Cigarettes is not, but
ain't they?
Ain't has fuck. They like $11, $12 a cart. Like, they expensive down. And so, like, that's just an example of many. Like, and you can establish.
And they better not be asking for no carton.
You so bad to fuck mine. Bitch, I would never
fucking buy your ass a carton of fucking.
Bitch, listen, you might get a pack.
Out of pocket. Out of motherfucking pocket. I'm talking about just because we family, that don't mean no, you're not about to do that one. Mm-mm. I understand you got a habit or whatever the case may be, but you need to let go and let God. Like, you need to do something, some deep meditation, some strong reflection, mm-hmm. journal that shit out. Mm-hmm. Like, do it. Like, it's hard. I understand that. But guess what? It can be done because people do it every day.
That's so true.
There are things that you can do that you don't need me for. Like, mm-hmm. you don't need to be codependent on my support in that area. Mm-hmm. Like, let's talk about something that's better than that. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. cigarettes or whatever. But it's just, there are ways in which you can still create these boundaries and still maintain a healthy relationship, because you don't stop loving them just because you're not going to buy a damn pack of cigarettes,
right.
just because you're not about to buy them Jordans, or just because you're not about to whatever the case may be that they're needing, that they feel like they need you for it to be codependent around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can set those things up and be clear about those expectations. And they might not like it at first. They might, you know, mug you, might stop talking to you and all this other stuff.
Which is perfectly fine.
Right.
Perfectly fine. Because guess what? Don't no motherfucking monkey stop a show.
Ain't that it?
I'm still doing me. And I hope, like, fuck, you would still do you without them pack of cigarettes. They ain't coming for me. They ain't coming for me. No stuff. Not at all.
No
I'm not
stuff.
About to sit up here and fun. Watch you get lung cancer. Right. Are you crazy?
Right.
Like, are you crazy? Like, fuck no. Fuck out of here. You know?
Yes.
No, that's so real. That's so real.
People be having you fucked up, and it be your own family.
Ooh, child.
Look.
And then, you know, there's a difference between like being kind and just overdoing it and trying to figure out. Yeah. Cause, you know, I mean, I'm super nice, and like, and I struggle with that. Where am I being too nice? And I'm trying to be kind about it, but it's like, am I overdoing it? Like. And really just reflecting on that. And like, I think if anything, you have to listen to your intuition.
Yes.
Like, that's a, and so it all goes back to being one with yourself and having that confidence and knowing your worth and your purpose. And anything that interferes with that is something that you have to just cut off.
It's so true, because like, kind of like going back to what Michael was saying, like when you do establish those boundaries, sometimes it does go left, you know, and you do end up with the person who's like going off on you and shit. It's like, oh bitch, you just needed me 2 seconds ago, but when I said no, you know, it's a whole other thing, you know what I mean? Like it, but you show me who you are in that moment.
Yeah,
that's what I like to see. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because now I get to see what you really coming to me for.
Right?
Like, is
right.
it that you're coming to me because you love me, or that you care for me, and that you need, you care about this relationship, or do you just want something from me? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I said people have to look at them. You have to look at you. What are you doing? If you get pissed off because I told you no, you know what I'm saying? Then that's something that you have to work through. You know, because there's something that's going on with you. Yeah, I don't have everything to give. Yeah, you know,
work that out with yourself.
Exactly. I don't have everything to give to you. You know what I'm saying? And it's not my obligation. Because, see, family will make you feel that way, especially.
Yes.
Like, it is your obligation to bail them out or to, you know, pay their bills when they, like, you know, you don't always have that. And if I paid your bill last month, bitch, I am not going to pay it again this month. Because guess who else got fucking bills?
Bills. You act like I ain't got my own shit.
Right. And I already don't want to pay them hoes. And you want me to pay yours, too? I can't.
And they don't be understanding that shit. No. That shit pisses me the fuck off.
Yes. Yeah. It's like, we all have lives to live. We all are out here trying to be the best that we can be. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I'm doing my work and yours too, you know what I'm saying? You ain't learning. You're not growing. You need to learn how to do your own work. And if that means you got to get up and you got to get you an extra job, you're going to have to do that, sir or ma'am.
Hello.
If that means that you need to go to therapy so you can work through some of your childhood anguish, you going to have to do that, ma'am or sir. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you have to do whatever you have to do in order to be whole within yourself. Because if you feel the need or to have to come to somebody else every time you don't have it, or that you feel down or whatever, that's work that you have to do. That's how you can easily identify it. Don't ignore it. Don't wash it away with some kind of, you know, sedative. You need to acknowledge that.
Yes.
Sit in that and then work through it.
Work towards it.
Work
and understand that it's not going to happen overnight. You know what I mean? Some people want, because it's not an easy fix, they just get so complacent and just, you know, woe is me, victim, instead of putting forth the work to see some true change.
Yes. Facts.
Yes. This is such a good discussion.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Any final thoughts? Any final words for people who may be codependent or dealing with somebody who's codependent?
I would say find your confidence in whatever that area is, or whatever those areas are. You have to find your confidence and your independence in that area. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun, and it may not even be pretty, but you are going to benefit from doing the work. It's going to be dirty sometimes. And you're not going to like how it feels. But, you know, in order to plant a seed, you're going to have to break some ground. You know, you're going to have to do that. And so if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. But you're going to grow through that, and you're going to get to a better place so that you can move forward with a positive momentum without mm-hmm. needing an outside source from yourself. I mean, separate from yourself, mm-hmm. you know? So just be confident in that. Be confident in the process. Know that even though it doesn't feel good in that moment, it will feel way better in the long run, because literally you know, drinking it away is only killing you. You know what I'm saying? It's only adding to the negativity or whatever your vice may be. It's only adding to that negative, you know? So it just work through it, bear through it. You're going to get to the other side. And if people see you doing it for yourself, they will be more readily available to support you through that. Absolutely. In whatever way that they can. Absolutely. So if you're really looking to grow and you're really looking to help or looking for help, start working on you first, and you'll see that people will automatically acknowledge that and then start making doing mm-hmm. whatever they can for you or with you, more so than for you.
Yes, absolutely. Michael.
So what I would have to say is that if you realize that you're dealing with someone that's codependent and they can't see it, I mean, it's just going to be, your best bet is to sit their ass down and try to be communicative to them and like be really clear, like come to them out of love.
Yeah.
You know, like, son, don't come at them sideways, because codependent people, from what I understand, also tend to be, I guess, more sensitive about being categorized as codependent, mm-hmm. especially when they feel like that could be a negative thing. So, like, I mean, it's just a way that some people are.
Right.
And, you know, mm-hmm. when it becomes an unhealthy situation, listen, you have to think. You have to be the one to step in for both of y'all. I'm just talking to anybody mm-hmm. who's listening in, and they may know someone, or they are in a codependent situation themselves, and they don't know how to bring this person into the conversation. Bring their ass into the cover. Fold mm-hmm. them into the conversation.
Yes.
And be clear about what's going on. You need to talk about behaviors, patterns, things that they may not necessarily think critically about, but are doing. So you have to go into the details of these things and bring it to their attention. So you have to really be clear about mm-hmm. what's going on to free yourself from the codependent situation, and also help them become less codependent and more dependent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I just would say, be open to communication.
Mm-hmm.
Love that person enough to bring them in, and, you know, just be real with them.
Yes.
That's what I got.
Facts.
Yes, so good. Definitely just my thoughts is reflect. Mm-hmm. Set up those boundaries if you need to from jump without the communication, just so you can get to what you need, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then definitely what Michael said, having that conversation, you know, especially if it's people who are worth it to you.
Yes, you know?
And the relationship is worth it to you. Definitely just think about yourself first and what you need and what your spirit needs and what you need physically and emotionally. And then, like they say on the plane, don't be trying to put on somebody else's mask if your mask ain't on.
So right.
Think about yourself first and then work towards helping someone else. But you have to set up those boundaries. So,
facts.
Yes. Thank y'all so much for participating in that.
Yes. That was a good conversation. Good conversations.
So moving right along to my favorite part. Question and answers. I love them. So we got a question today from Sky B. And she asks, what advice do you all have for someone who is brokenhearted? How does one move on from someone who supposedly loves them but continues to do dumb stuff? How do I let go just as easily as he did? Do I wait until he's done being dumb and focus on me in the meantime? Or do I let go because holding on to hope would be foolish? Help, I can only sing In My Feelings by Kalani and Nip Tuck by Nicki Minaj so many times.
See, this ties into our conversation a little bit.
It does, like breaking those, setting up those boundaries, mm-hmm. for sure.
I would probably say, well, the first part, the advice that I would have for someone that's brokenhearted is find a, going right back to the main point, confidence. You know, confidence in yourself, knowing that you have to remind yourself, because when you're in a relationship, it's easy to say, I need this person for this. You know, right, whatever that is that that person gives you or shares with you that you enjoy, you have to wean yourself off of that. And you have to be confident in the fact that you can get that for yourself, you know, or you can achieve that for yourself, by yourself, you know. And so reestablishing the relationship with who, with you, you know, and with your inner self overall, so that you can, you know, not feel like you need anything from that person, you know, or that you need their attention, their affection, their whatever, you know, you'll be able to give that for, get that for yourself. So I would say to focus on that area in order to heal that brokenheartedness. And that way you can still have the memories, you can still have the laughter, whatever it is that went really well, you can still contain or maintain those memories, you know, but then let everything fleet away, everything else fleet away, you know, because at the end of the day, you have been, that relationship taught you what you want out of life, you know, the things that make you happy and the things that you like and things like that. And so take that information and say, okay, now that I have this, what can I do in order to maintain this within myself, within my own circle, you know?
And I think too, like, I think in order to like move on, like, you know, I think you have to properly grieve, if that makes sense. Because anytime that you're breaking ties with somebody, it's a form of grief. I mean, you're losing them. So you're gonna grieve, you know? But you have to do it in a healthy way, and like making sure that you're not trying to replace those feelings with other things, like, you know, jumping too quickly in with somebody else or alcohol or drugs or whatever, but kind of doing, really reflecting on the relationship and knowing that it's okay to be in your feelings at that moment, because you did lose someone, and taking that time, but just not too much time. And you know what's too much time, you know what I mean? Like, but once you, I think once you reflect on the relationship, and sometimes I think about the bad shit, I think well, why shouldn't we have been together anyway? Like, you know what I mean? What was God trying to show me from jump? Like, and I should have, I mean, because sometimes we stay in relationships longer than what
we're supposed to, you know? That's true. I like what you said there. So it kind of goes back to what you, what we were talking about in the vent, like just doing that reflection and saying, okay, what, looking at it like, okay, well, what did I learn from this relationship? What was it that I was missing, you know, or that I could have given that I didn't give, or what did I did I want that I wasn't able to receive from that person? Whatever, that's your opportunity to do that type of work, and, you know, really establish what the next things that you should be working on emotionally and spiritually are, you know. And I, once you identify that, creating steps to actually create those or obtain those for yourself, you know. So reflecting is a really, really good, healthy way to, you know, get through that grieving process and that brokenheartedness and stuff, and getting to the other side.
Yes. And then she says, how do I let go as easily as he did? Well, I think, first of all, like, I think sometimes as women, and really not even as women, like, I think when you're a partner in a relationship and you're if you're more emotionally invested in something, it takes longer for you to get away. Not that he wasn't as invested, but I think sometimes some men can fake the funk. Where it seems like they've gotten over it, but really, like, it's something they're dealing with as well. And a lot of times people check out of a relationship a lot sooner than it actually ending. You know what I mean?
Though
it may seem like he has just detached so easily, he could have detached from, I mean, not, I don't know the situation, but he could have way prior to you guys actually partying, you know? Or again, he's just masking it. He's probably not over it either. And, you know, and sometimes you may they are or they appear to be, and then it affects them later. When you've mm-hmm. gotten over it, then they're the ones where it's like, damn, like she's moved on, like, ooh. Or damn, I miss her. I really had something good and I fucked that up. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. now I'm like sitting here looking crazy.
Yes. Whew. That resonated ooh-wee. A little bit because been there, yeah. done that. Been there, done that.
And so then she said, do I wait until he's done being dumb and focus on me in the meantime?
Yes.
Yes.
Always.
Or do I let go because holding on to the hope would be foolish? I think all of the above. Mm-hmm. Like, let his ass go. Just, I mean, if what's meant to be will come back. If mm-hmm. it's really supposed to happen. Because sometimes men have a lot of growing up they fucking need to do, first
that's
of all.
That's true. That's true.
And though some people think they're ready for a relationship and what that entails, but they are fucking not. So sometimes it's best to let him go his separate ways, grow up, and if it's meant to be what it's supposed to be, it'll come. He'll come looking for you. Mm-hmm. He'll say, you know, and something in him would have changed.
Yes.
And you would have been able to see the change in him more than just whatever words he says, but his actions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you may just need to give him that time to grow. And you too. Like, yes. I know, like, just as me as a person, like, sometimes I think I know who I am and I'm comfortable in who I am, but then a broken heart allows me to really, again, reflect on who I am and what I want and maybe how I can change. Maybe I wasn't the best in the relationship. What do I need to do different, you know?
Yes.
Well, girl, good. Let his ass go, dog. Mm-hmm. If he's being dumb, let him be dumb all by himself.
Yes. That's so true. Because, like, you ain't gotta... Everybody has things that they have to get through, you know, on their own, or lessons that they have to learn, things they have to build. You have to live your life, you know, and you can't live your life waiting for somebody else or hoping that they change or hoping that, you know, they are more receptive of what you have to give or whatever. Like, you can't live your life that way because that's you giving your power to somebody else, you know, and you have to maintain your power. You have to, you know, build your power. And in order to do that, you have to continue to work on yourself. You have to continue to focus on you and whatever it is that you have going on, you know. So that's why those self-reflecting tips, you know, and methods are so good. Those self-care tips and methods are so good for you, because that does help you to build your power, reestablish your power, and maintain your power so that you can move forward through life with more ease, you know.
And I definitely just say, don't wait on his ass.
No. Don't never wait on nobody. Now, nigga.
Hell no. Now, nigga. Don't do it. Keep living your life, you know, because your African king could be coming up around the corner.
Hello.
And then you wait on this one, and then you just miss out.
Yes.
I don't know what my favorite
is. After seeing that video.
You see how I put that on you, sis? Your African king is around the corner. Like, waiting on you.
But the fact of the matter is you're amazing within yourself. Your life is beautiful, and it's unique, and it shines brightly within itself. And you just have to remind yourself of that, because think of who you were at whatever the beginning of life, you know what I'm saying, when you felt free and great, you know what I'm saying. You are still that same person, and you've grown, and you've learned some lessons, and you've been through some shit, and your light is bright. You just have to remember that your light is bright, because sometimes you can't see it for yourself, you know. And you do, it's easy to get wrapped up into other people and get so used to their light that you don't even remember that yours is shining, you know. But you are you're amazing, and you're incredible, and you just have to continue to work on you so that you can allow yourself the opportunity to see it.
Absolutely. Sometimes I want to give advice that says, like, girl, just put sugar in this gas tank. No, just don't. It's not even worth it.
But see, there's plenty of people doing that shit.
Turf, all but one.
Plenty of people doing that shit. Right, all but one.
Because if you do all four, it's a felony. Don't do all four. Fuck his old gas tank up, sis. That sugar now.
Slash them down.
Don't do it. It's totally not worth it. And you, I mean, like, It may feel good at the moment, but
hell yeah,
it ain't gonna fix the situation for you. Yes, though.
Burn his house down like Left Eye. Like it's just, it won't. No. Set his car on fire like Bernadette waiting to exhale. With his clothes inside.
Temporary fixes. Yes. That's what those are. Temporary fixes.
That's exactly what that is. No temporary fixes, sis.
No.
But definitely just remember who you are and your worth, and definitely reflect on the good and the bad of the relationship and what you can do moving forward. Like, just finding, maybe learn like a new hobby. Like,
yeah.
I have a friend that does pole dancing. So maybe you can do that, girl. Like, it looks mad fun.
High key. Ooh.
Let me drop this baby out so I can learn for myself.
Get your ass, get yoga, all flexible and shit. Ooh, you know, yes. Yes. Work on that flexibility.
Like self healing and, you know, fun. Do a twerk session or something.
Yes. Like, get you some skills that you can use in the next relationship.
Yes.
Just block his number and love yourself.
Yes.
Block him on everything because you don't want to see what these whole niggas be up to. Because they like to be petty anyway.
They do. Take block dick his and ass everything. On social media.
Just, you know, you don't want to see your life.
Facts.
But it will get better. I knew that. I do know that. One day you'll look back and you'll be like, damn, like, you'll realize, like, I'm over it. Like, I'm over it. Like, I never thought that I would make it out, but I did, and you'll be happy.
Facts.
And you'll have a new nigga.
A better nigga.
And a better
A better nigga. Ain't that a better man? How about that?
Right, yes. Yeah,
stop saying nigga.
No niggas.
A better man. And a better you. Again, yes, a better you because of the situation. And so, really thank that nigga and move on. Thank you.
Thank you. What is it? Ariana Grande's new song? Thank you, next.
Thank you, next.
Thank you.
That video next, cute, too. I was like, bitch, you better work. I ain't done a music video in so long.
Right. I forgot they'd be making videos, honestly.
Honestly.
Same. Like, damn. I was like, okay.
But move on to, like, Cardi B. You know how Cardi B did that whole nice-ass video. Like, she was super calm. Mm-hmm. Just, you don't never want to see that nigga let you sweat either.
Right.
Never want to let him see you sweat. So just, you know, be cordial. And if you have any interactions, you see that nigga on the street, just act like he a bug in the sky. Like, you know, just ignore the fuck out of him, you know?
That's true.
And keep living your best life.
Living your best life.
Well, that's all the questions I had. Please feel free to send more at welcomebrokepodcast@gmail.com.
Yes.
And now we're going to move on to the next segment. A word from our ancestors. Michael, what you got?
So what I have today is kind of long, and so it's not a author by the quote. This is a long, like, statement quote, I guess, but I'm going to read it because I really think it's really important. Mm-hmm. So it says, at some point, you will realize that you have done too much for someone, that the only next possible step to do is to stop. Mm-hmm. Leave them alone. Walk away. It's not like you're giving up, and it's not like you shouldn't try. It's just that you have to draw the line of determination from desperation.
Ooh.
What is truly yours will eventually be yours. And what is not, no matter how hard you try, will never be. Now, I chose this simply because we're talking about like codependency, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the potential of like severing relationships. The bottom line is that sometimes you have to like make it plain for people, and if they can't get on, it's like if you don't get on, you can get off.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Basically, because you're going to continue to do you. You're basically going to continue to do you and still be a loving, caring individual. Some people who are codependent, and who are used to a very specific relationship, which you may not always understand in the initial beginning. They'll either come around or they won't. But the reality of the situation is you can't sit up here and beat yourself up about bringing something to their attention that was toxic for both of y'all's relationship.
Right.
You have to be the bigger person to identify this and then come up with some solutions to how do you move forward. Like, mm-hmm. if you don't want to leave this person, how do you move forward? What do we need to do to keep being in each other's lives despite these things that I've identified and the boundaries that I'm setting up so that I won't get hurt and so that you won't get hurt.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we continue to be in harmony with each other. So I chose that. It was long, I know, but I thought
perfect. It was perfect.
Perfect.
Yes.
For this topic.
It was the cherry on the sundae.
Yes.
On the sundae.
The glitter on the stripper. But that is going to wrap up our show. Thank you guys for listening. We love y'all so much.
Yes.
Talk to y'all next week.
All right.
See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, y'all. Thank you for listening to Woke and Broke. If you feeling what we're talking about, if you enjoy listening, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review us to show your support. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Woke and Broke Podcast and on Twitter at Woke and Broke Pod. We want to hear from y'all, so make sure you send us your input for this week's topics or questions that you'd like to hear us answer on the show. Send those to wokeandbrokepodcast@gmail.com. If you like us, tell your mama, your daddy, your sisters, your brothers, your cousins, your side pieces, so that they can support us too. Thanks for listening.